We continue our learning Le'ilui Nishmas Tavi Be'Menachem Moshen Chaim Yaakov Ben Pinchas Aleihu. We are in Ksuvos Perek Yud Gimel Mishnah Gimel. We mentioned in the first Mishnah in the Perek that there were these two Dayanim, Admon and Chanan Ben Abishalom. Chanan said two things, and we mentioned those in the previous Mishnayos. Admon said seven, and now we begin one of the comments, one of the halachos of Admon. Admon Omer Shiva. There were seven things Admon had said. Number one, Misha Meis Vihiniach Banim Uvanaros. Person passed away, and he has sons and daughters. Bizman Shahan Nechasim Merubim. So when the Nechse Yerusha that fell from the father are Merubim, there's a lot. There's a lot of the property. How much is considered a lot in the property? So the Mishnah Bava Basra in Perek Test Mishnah Aleph also discusses this halacha. And the Gemara on Daf Kuflam and Testament Beis ask, what's Merubim? The Gemara's conclusion is, what's considered a lot of property? Kol She Yizonu Mehen Elu Va'elu Ad She Yibagru. And where there's enough in the property, in the estate, that the sons and daughters will receive mizonos until the daughters become bogros, until they become 12 and a half. That is considered merubim. So the Mishnah here says, if the nechasim are merubim, so the halacha is, bizman shanechasim merubim, habanim yorshim v'habanos nizonos. The sons will receive the Yerusha, the estate goes to them, because when there are sons, the daughters don't inherit, but v'habanos nizonos, they will receive mizonos from that Yerusha. Now, the Gemara explains, I don't need the Mishnah to tell me that that the sons receive Yerusha and the daughters do not when there are sons, and they get mizonos. That everybody knows that halacha. The sons are yoresh midoraisa, and based on the Tanai Ksuva, the banos are nizonos, based on the Takanas Chacham, and we learned this already in the fourth parak, Mishnah Yod Aleph. The chiddush of this Mishnah is the line of bizman shahanachasim merubim, meaning when there's enough mizonos for the daughters and the sons until the daughters become bogros, until they're 12 and a half. So that's the Mishnah's teaching us, habanim yorshim, the sons are yoresh all of the nechasim, every part of the Yerusha goes to them, v'habanos nizonos, and they're going to receive mizonos from the sons, from the their brothers, from the sons, until they become bogros, or they become engaged, or they have erusin, and they cannot say to the sons, listen, give us from the property enough mizonos now until we become bogros, and you're going to get the rest of it. It doesn't work that way. The chiddush of the Mishnah is that the entire estate belongs to the sons, and from that, they will give mizonos to the daughters. Uvenechasim muatim, however, but let's say the nechse Yerusha that fell to the sons from the father, so it's minimal, which means there's not enough mizonos to give to the banos and the banim until the daughters become bogros, until they're 12 and a half. So there's not enough in the estate that they'll both have mizonos until the daughters reach that age. Some others claim nechasim muatim means that there's not enough parnasa shnei masar chodesh lebanim levanos, not enough even to last for 12 months. So what do we do in such a case where the nechasim are muatim? Habanos yizonu v'habanim yachzeru al ha yechazru al apsachim. What do you mean? What does that mean? It means we take out of the estate enough food for the banos, for the daughters, until they will come 12 and a half. That money we set aside. And the rest, whatever's left, we give to the sons. Now, there may be minimal left, because you said there are minimal nechasim. It's not enough to support both of them, to give both of them zonos till the girls are 12 and a half. Till the girls are 12 and a half. And therefore, they have priority. The girls have priority. And after the sons have consumed whatever a part of the estate for their mizonos purposes, and now it's gone, they have to go around begging Yechazru Lapsachim in order to gather mizonos. That's not something that we require the daughters to do, that the sons do. It's more embarrassing for the daughters to have to do that. And if, let's say, the Nechse Yerusha only have enough money for mazon of the banos at all, so then the sons are going to have to go around begging, even for their first meal. So that's what the Mishnah says. So Admon Omer, now comes Admon's halacha. Bishul Shani Zachar Ifsati. Because I'm a male, I should lose out. Looks like the son has greater rights than the daughters. The fact that the son is Yoresh and the Bas does not get a Yerusha. So why should it be now that it's the reverse all of a sudden, now that there's not enough mizonos. Now the sons have to go begging. Is that correct? The son should lose out on their Yerusha because the daughters shouldn't have to go around begging. Amar Rami Gamliel, Roani, Estiveri Admon. You know, I agree with Admon. Now, Tosus points out that Admon just makes a comment. He's astonished by this halacha, but he's not practically coming to argue with the Chachamim. He's just saying it's a very strange halacha. And even Ram Gamliel, who said Roani is the very Amon, he didn't have his kavana was not to argue with the Chachamim's psak. Indeed, the sons are the ones who will have to go out to beg whether an achasim mu'atim. But he's just astonished by the halacha. And others disagree that with Tosfos and say it's not true. The Mishnah wouldn't tell me this. Wouldn't tell me Admon says, oh, because I'm a male, I should lose out. And Kanzgum Ram Gamliel says, I agree with Admon. What do you mean you agree with Admon? Obviously, they're saying a halacha. And indeed, according to that, there would be a machlokes. Somebody showed him home that there indeed is a machlokes in the Mishnah. And Admon Ram Gamliel will disagree and would say, no, the Yerusha goes to the sons. And maybe the sons are not the ones who have to go out begging. Maybe that's the daughter's responsibility. Perek Yud Gimel Mishnah Tes, a Mishnah Dalet rather, brings us into the halacha of mode b'miktsas. The rule is based on the pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, Asher Yomar Ki Huzeh. That is the source in the Torah when someone comes, when you have, let's say, Reuven comes to Shimon and says, you know, I lent you $100. And Shimon says, Ki Huzeh, this is what I owe you, but I don't owe you the rest. Meaning I owe you, let's say, 75, but the other 25 I don't owe you. The halacha is that that Shimon has to take a shvuah, has to take an oath. That's an oath, a shvuah d'oraisa of modeh b'miktsas hataina, where he admits to part of the claim. If he's kofar bakol, he denies the entire thing. He does not have to take a shvuah midoraisa. Maybe a shvuah d'rabbanan, but not a shvuah seses, but not a shvuah d'oraisa, because we assume that a person would not have the audacity to write to the face of someone who lent him money, let's say, to deny the entire claim. But we are afraid when somebody admits to part of the claim. The claim was, you owe me 100. He says, no, I only owe you 50. I only owe you 75. The other part I don't owe you. We're afraid that maybe he really owes the whole thing, but he doesn't have all the money. And that's why maybe he's lying. In order to ensure he's not lying, he takes a shvur. Now, the rule is when it comes to modem b'miktsas, the hoda'a, the admission, has to be mimin hataina. It has to be on the same species, literally, of the claim that the tovea is making. So if someone says, you owe me $100, and he says, no, I only owe you 50, so he's chayav shvua, because $50, $100, that's the same species. But let's say someone says, oh, you owe me a certain measure of wheat, and he says, no, I only owe you, you owe me 100 bushels of wheat. He says, no, I really only owe you 75 bushels of barley. So there's no shvua that's necessary, midoraisa. Based on the Mishnah Shvuos, Perek Vav, Mishnah Gimel, because the Shvua is not, because the Hodah, the admission, is not Mimin Hatayin, it's not of the same species, it's apples and oranges, and that's and therefore no Shvua is necessary. Our Mishnah, which continues the words of Admon, is going to discuss a case where someone, Reuven, claims from Shimon, you know, you owe me Kadeh Shemen, you owe me jugs of oil. And he admits, he says, listen, I owe you jugs, I owe you kankanim, but I don't owe you the oil. Is that considered an admission, a hodah mimin hataina? On the one hand, he does mention the they just mentioned the jugs, and part of the claim may have included jugs, or maybe, no, the claim was really about oil, and he's admitting to of a claim, his hodah is not mimin hataina. So says the Mishnah, hatoin es chaver kadeh shemen, v'hodah v'kan kanim, person claims, Reuven claims from Shimon, oh, you owe me kadeh shemen, jugs of oil, v'hodah, and Shimon admits, kan kanim, I owe you empty barrels, I owe you empty pitchers, but I don't owe you oil. Admon Omer, ho will vahoda v'miktsas hataina yishava. Since he was modem v'miktsas hataina, this is considered a partial claim because he asked for kadeh shemen, and kadeh shemen includes both the pitchers and the oil. So when the nitba then responds and says, I owe you empty pitchers, that is a hoda v'miktsas. And therefore he's chayv shvua, the shvua d'arais of modem v'miktsas, that he doesn't owe the rest. V'chachamim omrim, ein zeh hoda mimin hataina. Now this is mitzvah hoda of the same species as the claim itself. This is not an admission of the same kind as the claim at all. Because why? When the purse Reuven claims you owe to Shimon, you owe me kadeh shemen, what he means is oil that happened to fill up a certain measure of a pitcher. And when Shimon admits, I owe you a pitcher, or I owe you a pitkan kanim, that's not, he's admitting to something that was not claimed at all. So, because he didn't admit to any part of the oil. And this is like apples and oranges, like wheat and barley. Amar Rabban Gamliel, Rohan is the very Admon. I think Admon is correct that this is a hodah mimina taina, and it is chayv eshua. Now the Gemara says that we have to qualify this machlokas and limit this machlokas somewhat, which means like this: if the plaintiff claimed, the Reuven claimed 10 barrels full of oil, you owe me. That implies that it's both the kalim and the oil. And Shimon responds and admits, listen, I owe you 10 empty barrels. He certainly has to take a shvuah, even according to the Chachamim, because the claim was 10 barrels full of oil, barrels and oil, and he admits to the barrels. If, let's say, Reuven claims not, 10 barrels full of oil, but 10 barrels full, let's say. So that only sounds like oil. It doesn't say barrels full of oil, but 10 jarfuls, 10 barrelfuls. And what did Shimon say? I owe you 10 empty jars, 10 empty barrels. Even Admon agrees with the Chachamim that that's not modi b'miksas, because it's not hodah miminataina. What's the case where they argue, where the plaintiff is claiming 10 jars of oil, not 10 barrels, 10 jars full of oil, but rather 10 jars of oil. And what does Shimon respond? I owe you 10 empty jars. Admon says that is hodah miminataina, because when he says 10 jars of oil, that means jars and oil. And when he responds, no, I owe you 10 empty jars, that's hodam miminataina. But the Chacham says, no, when you say 10 jars of oil instead of 10 jars full of oil, so they say that is, no, we assume 10 jars of oil just means oil, which happened to fill up jars of a certain measure, and therefore it's not hodam miminataina, and therefore no shvuah modim miksas is required.